Heavenly Father, we come to you wanting you to open the eyes of our hearts so that we might see you, so that we might be transformed by your word and have our minds renewed. And so we give this time to you, praying that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you all have your study guide there? Very good. Okay. Well, the topics for this morning, Matthew 19 and 20, are wide-ranging, to say the least. I think that's often been the case with these lessons. So there's teaching in these verses on divorce, eunuchs, people who have the gift of marriage, people who have the gift of celibacy, Jesus' invitation to children, the difficulty of the rich and the self-satisfied entering heaven, the astounding generosity of God, and then the disciples' somewhat baffled responses to all of this. So in spite of the broad range of topics, I think there's a helpful way to organize passages like this, because in the scripture, you know, as we read through these gospels, we're going to meet up with realities of the new kingdom, ways that Jesus has of teaching and explaining the kingdom that he's bringing in. So I think that by kind of listing and examining these realities, that hopefully we'll have a framework for what we're reading today. So hopefully that's what will result. So new kingdom reality number one. Jesus is calling out and creating his own family, which includes anybody, any person who comes to Jesus in repentance and faith. So the Lord is not dismissing the biological family. He's not downgrading it in any way, but he's building God's eternal family. And in God's eternal family, all are equally welcomed and all are equally treasured. The Lord is calling together people who do the will of God. Back in Matthew 12, 49, we find Jesus proclaiming that all who do the will of his Father in heaven are his brother and his sister and his mother. Okay, so that's the first. New kingdom reality number two is somewhat related. It's the statement, the first will be last, the last will be first. Other ways it's stated in scripture, the humble will be exalted, the exalted will be humbled. Last week from chapter 18, whoever humbles themselves will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So God isn't swayed by power or status or brains or beauty or wealth or educational degrees. God looks at our hearts, doesn't he? So this new reality also gets called the great reversal or the upside down kingdom or the great leveling. Now, Billy Graham was fond of saying that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. So it might be that great leveling that I prefer. But the truth about all of us is that we're all more sinful than we could ever admit, and we're also more loved than we could ever imagine. So God's way of assessing people differs so radically from ours that it should create this cosmic 180 in our hearts and in our minds. We're given a whole new way of being human, and we're given a whole new way of looking at other human beings when we live under the rule of the true King. New reality number three, living our new life in Christ with all these new creation realities is impossible in human strength, but with God, all things are possible. In both 19, verse 10, chapter 19, verse 25, Jesus' followers kind of worry out loud about this, about what chance there was of people getting into God's kingdom, and then what chance was there that they could possibly live up to the righteous requirements of God's kingdom? Well, the Message paraphrase of the Bible puts it like this. Jesus looked at them and said, "No chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it." And T. Wright has said it like this. We come to a point when all human possibilities and calculations stop, and God's new possibilities start. With God, all things are possible. Okay, so we want to take a look then at chapter 19, start off there, verses 1 to 10. And we'll see some of the issues that are raised. The Pharisees begin this conversation by asking Jesus if it's legal to divorce your wife for any and every reason. And Jesus replies with verse 4 then of chapter 19. In the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God joined together, let man not separate." So these Pharisees, though, they kind of want to continue on. They're testing Jesus, but they're also, you know, trying to justify themselves. So they say, "Well, yeah, but Moses commanded that we give her a certificate of divorce and send her away." So implying then that this is how we do it. We are, after all, Pharisees, and we do exactly what Moses commanded. Well, Jesus counters this then by saying that Moses permitted divorce. See the difference there? They use the word commanded. He's using the word that means permitted. Permitted divorce because of their hard hearts. And so he prescribed requirements for it. But that's not the way that God intended it. That's in verse 8. That's not the way God intended it originally to be. And Moses obviously did not encourage